Joining me now is Larry Goldberg, our Principal Deputy Inspector General. In a sense, Larry's our Chief Operating Officer, and his job will be to coordinate the ambitious goals set in the work plan, among many other challenges. So welcome, Larry.
Thank you, Retta.
And with Health and Human Services programs accounting for almost one quarter of all federal spending and touching the lives of virtually every American, how do you decide what the priorities are going to be in the year ahead?
Well, carrying out our mission in OIG to maximal impact really requires effective strategic planning and an agile response to unfolding events. So, looking at the big picture, every year we assess the top challenges that are facing the department. So, for example, detecting and preventing fraud in the Medicare and Medicaid programs, or protecting the nation's food supply. So these become OIG priorities every year, and also the areas that we recommend to the department where they focus their attention as well.
Well, the overwhelming body of OIG's work does focus on Medicare and Medicaid, but what drives that focus?
Well, Medicare and Medicaid are the largest programs that are operated by the department, and together they serve one out of every four Americans. Congress created a special program called the Healthcare Fraud and Abuse Control Account, specifically to attack fraud, waste, and abuse in the Medicare program. OIG gets about 80% of its resources from this program, so we spend about 80% of our work focusing on Medicare and Medicaid issues.
Well, every year OIG issues its work plan in October, and I'm curious, how do you take these big picture priorities and decide what you're going to focus on? Mm-hmm. How do you get to the details?
Sure. We are constantly assessing relative risks and potential impact. So in other words, we look to those areas where there's the greatest potential for fraud, waste, and abuse, and then we look to see where we can effectuate the most positive change. So every time we start an audit or an evaluation, we ask ourselves a number of questions. First of all, how many program dollars are at risk? How many individuals are affected by this particular program? Is anyone's life or health or safety at risk? And then do we have concerns because of previous work that we've done with respect to this program or that others have done? Now, in doing so, we welcome input from the department, from Congress, from the law enforcement community, healthcare providers, and the public. Because with their input, that helps guides us to figure out what emerging trends there are, potential fraud issues, and also where we should place our priorities.
The work plan details very specific projects when it comes to audits and with evaluations and inspections. And although the public hears a lot about our enforcement work, there's not so much detail about enforcement in the work plan. Why is that?
Right. Well, there are some good reasons why we don't talk about our enforcement activities and our investigations in our work plan. First of all, unlike audits and evaluations, we don't plan our enforcement activities in advance. They really are the response to uncovering evidence of fraud. In addition, we don't really publicly discuss our ongoing investigations or enforcement actions, and that's for a couple reasons. First of all, to protect the subject's due process rights during the course of investigation, and then to protect the investigation itself. If we were to be out there saying Dr. X is under investigation, that could potentially compromise the investigation, lead to the destruction of evidence, and we might have an undercover operation going on in that case as well.
Well, beyond responding to evidence of fraud, then, how do you plan enforcement action at a more strategic level?
We use data analysis, information from our agents in the field, our other government partners, vulnerabilities that we identify during the course of our audits and evaluations. All of this goes into planning our enforcement activities as well. So, for example, we established Medicare fraud strike forces along with the Department of Justice in 9 locations that are really fraud hotspots. And based on our data analysis and information from our agents, we figure out what the emerging fraud trends are, and then we deploy our resources accordingly. We also very recently have focused on fraud by government contractors and grantees.
Larry, what do you see as the work plan's usefulness for various audiences, and are there any other resources that you want to highlight?
We recommend to our stakeholders that they use our work plan as a roadmap to see where it is the OIG is focusing our attention. So whether it's an HHS grantee or a healthcare provider or someone subject to HHS regs, we recommend that people look at the questions we are asking in the work plan. So for example, a hospital can look at some of the audits we are doing in the area of hospital billing. They can compare that to what they're doing in their own facilities and determine whether or not they're complying with Medicare rules. In addition, we report to Congress twice a year on our completed work, in these semi-annual reports, different than our work plan, which is forward-looking as to what we're going to do. It talks about the recommendations we've made, enforcement activities we've engaged in, and what our findings are. And then once each year, we publish a summary of our recommendations, those that have not yet been implemented by the department, as to how the department can save money and improve programs.
Good information, Larry. Thanks for your insights about what we're going to be doing in the year ahead.
Thank you, Roberta.